I'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. It is now 3:35. I'd like to solicit an approval of the agenda from my colleagues.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And so we are accepted. Andrea, do we have members of the public who wish to comment at this time?
No public comments.
No public comments, that's fine. The meeting minutes of the October 14th meeting have been circulated. Do I have a motion to approve those?
So moved.
Second.
And I will endorse that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. At this point, Conrado, you're welcome to have the floor if you have a report at this time.
Nothing to report at this time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris. I'd like to turn the meeting over to you at this point for the administrative component of the meeting and move on directly into a discussion of the financial reports to the extent that you wish to do so, please.
Great. Thank you, Director Shore. Appreciate that. The CAO report, just want to acknowledge again that the annual audits are now complete and were accepted by the board at the October 26th board meeting. We from the accounting department, as well as other staff that were involved with the audit, we are appreciative of all the efforts that have been put forth during that time and are extremely pleased that we are beyond that and have the audit reports in place for another year. So thank you to everyone and particularly the support staff, meaning Eric and others that participated.
Okay, I have a question. Is Mr. Stribling going to talk only about the district or is he going to talk about matters?
No, it's just with the district. And if you choose or if you want, we can move him up. Reports, discussion, we can do that, I guess, if you have.
If that's okay with everyone and if afford Mr. Stribling the opportunity not to endure our process. You're welcome to be reported at this time, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Appreciate moving up the food chain. So on page 40, I believe we are. Go to page 40, if you would. Okay, so this is the retirement plan. The account value is almost 5.2 million. The asset allocation is almost 66% stocks, 27% fixed income, a little bit of extra cash and 2.5% alternatives. And I just say it's, at the moment we're modestly overweight equities, as you can see, almost 600 basis points overweight equities. I have begun to pull that back just a little bit just because stock market's done so well for so long very little pullback, but we'll talk about economics in a couple pages.
And just to clarify, this is the the retirement protection plan, not the district bond investment.
So yes, clarifying. Exactly. Hang on, I'm getting my.
Okay, I wonder where the rest of the money was.
Yeah. All right. Skip in two pages, maybe. This is the fixed income report for the individual bonds. As you can see, the duration of the fixed income portfolio remains right around 7 years. Coupon is about 3.38%, but yield to maturity only 1.5%. And that's just a reflection of the reality of where investment grade bonds are. Maybe skip in three more pages.
Kip, I have a question about that. Have we been buying during this downturn or have these been in the portfolio for a while?
As you can see by, if you go back there real quick, as you can see, the duration had gotten down to 6.7 years. So I think there's a little bit of buying. Our institutional bond managers manage the individual bonds in this portfolio. So I leave it to them, their discretion to make those choices. So to be honest, 100% don't know, but okay. I do believe there's probably been some buying And on that note, when we get to the other portfolio, yes, I have been buying.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, so a couple pages in is the performance. It's one more page. It's been a great run. One more page. So it's been a great period. Year to date, 9 months, portfolio was up 8.3%. Wow. after all fees. You know, stocks up almost 13%. 1 year, that would be September over September, up 18.7%, compounding over 8.8 to 8.5%, and even 8.5% for 10 years. So wow. That would be above what your probably your long-term expected return is, or whatever the actuary says you need. But it's been a great run. Stocks are compounding over 13.5% for 5 and 10 year periods. I don't think that's has to have been one of the best 10 years in stock market history. And you know, like I said, I've had it overweight equities for a while, just because there's no better place to go with the Fed, you know, holding down interest rates so low, you can't make much money in bonds, and doesn't seem worth that risk. Just in terms of, you know, talking about the economy a little bit and positioning. So we're, as I said, we're overweight equities. I have started to, you know, I pull back a little bit, but I'm, you know, really more thinking about pulling back than doing much pulling back on that. But, you know, we're modestly overweight value versus growth. We're shorter, a little bit shorter duration on the fixed income portfolio, but, you know, of the individual bonds, I think that's probably about the target duration. You know, with the idea that we're expecting the cyclical economic recovery to be sustainable. And the rationale behind that is we have still, even though the Fed's talking about tapering, we still have very aggressive monetary policy. We have aggressive fiscal policy. You know, we've got vaccines. And now antiviral pills from Pfizer and Merck that kind of put a light at the end of the COVID tunnel, even if we have a holiday surge. The reality is that we're getting more and more tools in the toolbox to fight COVID. And frankly, you know, booster shots are a good idea, especially for the vulnerable. So I highly encourage that to anybody that, you know, is feeling uncomfortable about COVID. But because the vaccine seems to wane over time. But nonetheless, they're very effective. We have an infrastructure bill that just got passed, so that will be additive to economic growth. Even if it's kind of slow to get into the economy, it's still kind of going to linger out there with a positive tone for equities and growth. And eventually we'll have improving global economies as everything opens up and more vaccination occurs. And so, you know, we've had a bit of a steepening in the yield curve, although rates went down a bit today. With that steepening in the yield curve, I'm talking about rates went from 75 basis points on a 10-year treasury to 1.5%. So still extremely low interest rate environment, even though much less low than it was. I think if you, you know, look at it from the perspective of real rates, we have very negative real rates. So inflation running much hotter than the nominal bond yield. So that sort of creates negative real rates where you're, you know, basically losing ground in a 10-year treasury. Fed believes that it will be something that resolves itself in the economy. And we'll see how that goes. I think some of those items that they highlight, such as used car prices, are certainly not going to be going up forever. But at the same time, rents are up, and as are housing prices, and actually wages are rising too. So those are a little bit more sustainable. You know, I mentioned Fed tapering as a potential risk, but, you know, it's sort of the difference between you've got your foot on the accelerator all the way to the floor, as opposed to your foot is a little bit off the floor, but you're still accelerating. You still have the gas on pretty hard. And of course, you know, fiscal response has been enormous. So, you know, hopefully You know, it does create some budget deficits that are eventually going to, people are going to talk about, but for now they don't care. And then we also are going to have some Fed turnover. So a couple of the Fed governors maybe were trading REITs in their personal accounts and, you know, shouldn't have been. It seems pretty obvious to me, but evidently they thought it was okay, given REITs are very interest rate sensitive and they set interest rate policies. I don't know. It seems like a conflict of interest. So they, quote unquote, are retiring with probably a big, hey, you got to get out of here. There's some talk. So you know, the same way Donald Trump got to reshape the Supreme Court, Joe Biden seems he's going to get to reshape the Fed. And there's some talk about whether or not they will keep Jerome Powell as the Fed chairman. And one of the other, Brainard, is talked about as a potential replacement for Jerome Powell. And she's even more dovish and than Jerome Powell, which is hard to imagine because I didn't know you could get more dovish than just printing money and buying everything. But so that, you know, that's kind of going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And then, of course, you know, there's a lot of odd things going on in China. The President Xi is really taking a new direction that's a more communistic direction for the country, less business friendly, less wealthy people friendly. So you see Bitcoin and some of these cryptocurrencies going up. I do believe that a lot of that is people in wealthy people in China and other, I would call them third world countries, trying to get their money into dollars one way or another and using things such as Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies to do that. And the Chinese economy is slowing. So that's, you know, of course, a growth risk for emerging markets as well as the rest of the world. So that's kind of the economic backdrop. But, you know, basically in the big picture, we're, you know, we're overweight equities as a firm, we're short duration on fixed income, we're modestly overweight value versus growth, and, you know, just kind of expecting that, you know, the cyclical economic recovery can be sustained as vaccines and the economy opens and, you know, the infrastructure bill hits and all these things kind of work their way through the system. So it seems like there's, you know, you're better off to buy some stocks than you are to, you know, buy a bond that maybe you could earn, you know, if the 10-year treasury is 1.5%, maybe you can earn 2% on the coupon. And, you know, you might break even if rates go up a little bit and you make your coupon. You know, so there's not much money to be made in fixed income.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any
let's before, any questions before I go to the other portfolio? All right, let's go to the other portfolio then. So that would be page 59, I think. Or 55. Yeah, there you go. All right, so this is the basically the US Treasury portfolio, short duration portfolio, of course. At the time of the, at the end of September, it was 23% in cash, 77% in fixed invested in treasuries. It's sort of been holding more cash for a while because buying bonds for one basis point seemed pointless. However, as you asked, you know, we had a tick up in the even on the shorter end of the yield curve, and I got pretty busy buying bonds in October, and so I had taken that cash position down to under 10%. It may be, you know, may have had a bond or two mature recently, but at the end of I'd say about by the third week in October, it was down to like 9.5% cash. So I invested quite a bit of the cash into some treasuries at a little bit better yield, sort of in the 50 to 60 basis point range, which, you know, there's not much to be had, but that's better than one. If you'll go one more page, you can see the duration of the portfolio. You know, back in 2017 was 2 years, 2018, 2.2 years, but has shortened as rates have collapsed and really made it harder to really invest the money effectively. It is up to 1.65. I think it'll be maybe a little bit higher when we print the year-end number, just because of the bonds that I bought. And then two more pages in. As you might suspect, not making much money in here, basically flat for the year-to-date and the one-year period. Not much you can do about it. There's just no money to be made in bonds. The rates ticked up a little bit. You got a coupon, and it kind of worked out to a flat return. Longer term, still 1 to 1.5% kind of return. But reality is that we're just in a tough environment for a while for short-term treasuries, and which is also why we lowered the fee some time ago, because we could see this was coming.
I have a question, Chris. Before you leave that page, what do you base the budget income on? What did you base the budget income percentage yield?
Essentially, I've got it as a net zero, because we're earning some interest, but that's what we're seeing here. I mean, there's just not much money to be made on the actual investment. So,
but year to date has a negative investment of $147,000. Is that to budget?
Right, and that's just a function of the timing of the bonds and the.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
That's all I have. My official comments. I'm glad to answer any questions about either portfolio. It's just a tough rate environment. That's just, that's the other side of the stock market doing well.
I have an interesting question. If you had the magic pen on the bond side, what's the ideal number of years that you would shoot for to hit a home run? Assuming the rates were motivational. But what's the right number of years?
Right now, are you saying what is my duration target?
If it's now 1.6, if it was the ideal climate, what would that number be? Three?
Yeah, probably three.
Three. Okay, just curious to know what.
Yep, somewhere between 2.5 and 3.
I'm just curious to know what the theoretical target would be.
Right, yes, and you can see we haven't been there in a long time.
All right. Does anyone else have any questions for Mr. Stribling?
I have a question or questions that are, I think, related. What do you think of the impact with the infrastructure bill being passed and unemployment, the labor shortage, and with the mandates coming along that might put people back to work? What do you think, would they have any impact on the economic outlook?
There's a couple different things in there. So the first thing is, the infrastructure bill. So it takes a while for government spending on something like this to actually flow into the economy. So I think that's, that's not going to be an immediate stimulus. That's going to be sort of down the road stimulus. And some of it, frankly, is actually refixing roads and bridges and, real, what you think of as real infrastructure. And some of it is, less tangible that way. I don't know all the details of it, but I just know that it's not, of whatever $1.5 trillion or whatever it is, it's not all going to be roads and bridges and airports and the things, fixing the ports, I think, is in there, or doing some work to make the ports better. The employment side is more difficult because, a lot of people on the one hand, so there's a lot of people that have made a lot of money in their retirement accounts during this period. And so they have opted not to come back to the workforce. So, sort of the baby boomers that were getting close to retirement anyway, some of them have been like, yeah, you know, I just doubled my 401k. I'm not going to bother to go in and work again. Now, they may come back later, but at the moment, they're not interested. Also, at the lower end of the labor force, where you have a lot of human interaction, restaurants and lodging and those types of jobs, people haven't come back to those that well either, because they just want more money, or they're getting stimulus checks from the government. Although even in the places where they quit getting the stimulus checks, they are slow to come back. So it's hard to know exactly when the labor issues will resolve themselves. The other area we have a shortage is truck drivers, which of course is really problematic, because we got a bunch of, you know, even if we start getting the container ships emptied that are sitting out in Long Beach Harbor and other places, you know, you got to get somebody to move the containers when they get on land. So there's a number of issues on the labor force that are driving the dynamics of that. But you know how it goes, money talks. So if wages rise enough, people will come back, I'm sure. So that you know, the other side of that is that places like McDonald's and other fast food restaurants are looking for ways to automate. And, you know, so if I have to pay people, if I had to pay people X amount and now I have to pay them, let's say 50% more, well, I want to have a reduction in staff of 25% so that I can, you know, still keep the same service level, but, you know, my costs aren't necessarily any higher. So there's going to be more automation equipment put in to displace labor with automation, with capital, basically. And I forgot what your third kind of comment was.
No, I think that you covered it with I was just wondering what the economic impact will be, but it seems more like it's going to be like an impact like maybe 2 years down the road for both of those.
Yeah, companies. I think it's going to be, you know, from the infrastructure bill, I think that's probably, you know, not going to really hit for, you know, 9 months or a year.
Okay.
By the time, you know, because it takes some time to figure all that out, right?
You okay, so shorter than I thought.
Fix a bridge, okay. Yeah. It takes a little time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, from my perspective, having a little experience in economics, if you go back to the end of World War II, that was the time period in the United States of the greatest deficit in history. It was up in the trillions. And everyone was very concerned about the long-term debt. 15 years later, it was gone. And the reason it was gone is because the economy exploded. It exploded in terms of productivity. It exploded in terms of consumption. And those of us who were born in the late 40s, 50s, and 60s really lived through a period of extraordinary economic growth. So on the one hand, I don't have the same fear as my classical economist friends do about inflation, because even if it does hit, it will ultimately, supply and demand will eventually come back into line. Productivity will continue to increase. But if you want something new to worry about the loss of jobs at across the board because of artificial intelligence. For example, there are no toll keepers anymore. Keith mentioned restaurants are automating hamburgers. When you go into a McDonald's today in some of the places, you do all the order entry yourself. There are implications in the early professional level jobs in terms of executive search is all done. The first level is done automatically now. In law, the reading of depositions is being done instead of first year clerks working 20 hours a day. Accounting is basically being subjected to artificial intelligence. So if you want a long view issue to worry about is, what happens when there's no jobs for people who want them in big numbers? And then the whole society has to really find a new way to sustain economic growth. So that's a little bit of my long view of it. Les, you had a comment you wanted to make?
No, I wanted to move on because I have a drop dead at 4:45.
Excuse me. I would go back to my college roots. Okay. Do we have anything else for Keith at this point, ladies and gentlemen?
No.
Okay. So thank you, sir. Appreciate your insight and appreciate your comments. And don't buy any more bonds until you absolutely have to. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's move the agenda. You want to take over again, Chris, to the,
okay,
to the question?
Yeah, we'll go back to the CAO report on page 9. And just a brief update on the fire sprinkler system at the Medical Plaza. And so we do have essentially all the materials on site, and the contractors have begun installation, working in building 3W or 3 West, and more specifically on the Dream Fertility suite that we recently leased in 3 West 101. So that's moving forward. It's going to be a little bit of a slow, tedious process, just working around the tenants and their like evenings and weekend schedules. So with regard to leasing activity, we still have the two vacancies. My guess is we probably won't see much activity on that through the holidays, but hopefully in the earlier part of 2022 that we'll hopefully see some interest there. Moving on then to the, unless there's any questions with regard to that, we can move on to the financials.
Go right ahead.
Right. And just a couple of brief highlights. We can go to page 14. And we can see there the property tax revenue. We moved the budget around a little bit on that based on what was discussed in the prior months. There's just some timing issue kind of things going on there. And we see that there's a negative 152,000 negative or an under budget number. The timing of that is such that we did receive the November or the October monies in early November. So that should even out a little bit more for the November financials. And as Director Zendel was pointing out earlier, that the interest income component of our, essentially our bond and cash investments, we are earning some interest on that of about $251,000. But we are, as a result of timing and when the bonds mature, when they mature at a level that's much lower than what we paid for coupon wise, then we end up having some negative on that investment. So thus the net negative of $139,000 year to date. So with regard to, you know, we have some expense savings still going on in the wages component, the labor part of things, also in the general or administrative sections down in the 6,000 on the bottom of that page, and then flowing over into the next page, just several of the items, just a lot of that still a function of the working remotely function and not incurring some of those expenses with regard to travel, etc. Also, an item that's significantly under budget is the professional fees, about halfway down that page 15. So we do have significant under budget there on light item 6516, and that will start seeing some expense coming through on the Kaufman and Hall engagement. We did receive an invoice for October for $75,000, and so we will be seeing some actual expense coming through on that. The other larger variance has to do with the grants. And that's a function of our strategic planning and having that process complete now. Now it's a process of defining, you know, where the grant funds will be allocated as we go forward throughout the rest of the year. Any questions regarding the income statement or profit and loss?
Nope.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Las Palmas Medical Plaza, page 16. Pretty well dialed in there. We have the revenue. That's only about $3,800 variance. And at the bottom, just a net variance of about $7,000 year to date. So pretty dialed in on the medical plaza. Balance sheet wise, on the comparisons, really the major difference, as has been over the last few months on page 17, is in the investment accounts. And we have roughly $3 million, $2.5 million higher than last year. Again, that's a function of not spending primarily on the grants. And we can, unless there's any questions regarding the balance sheets.
Yes, I have one on page 18. The total equity increase of six million, is that reflective again of the actuary change in the retirement program, or is that a real number?
No, that's a good part of it, exactly.
Okay, so it's just an accounting booking issue.
Yeah, so anything that comes from the income statement or profit and loss from the prior year, that rolls forward into the equity. So you're exactly right, Director Shore, that the down at the next to the bottom line, the total equity increased from the 60 million to the 66 million. Part of that is a function of actual net income.
Right.
But the larger portion is roughly 5 million associated with the adjustment to the retirement protection plan.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I wanted that on the record. Thank you.
Okay. We can move on to the AR summary on page 22. Eric's doing a great job with the collections, et cetera, from the Medical Plaza tenants.
Good shape.
Yes. And we make payment or receive payment from the foundation on a periodical basis. So that $94,000 isn't unreasonable. We have, as a matter of fact, if you go to page 26, I think it is the next page, you can see a deposit there where we actually receive $200,000. Actually go back a page or two.
Page 23.
Yeah, is it 23? Okay, thank you. I couldn't read it over the numbers. We did actually receive in the month of October, receive from the foundation for $201,000. So we do pay that periodically. Just showing on page 24, the tax receipts that we've received year to date, and that we're a little behind on that, but again, we've received October monies in the month of November. So, and in comparison to the actual specific tax revenue item, we're seeing pretty significant increase over the prior year. So we should see some fairly sizable increases when it comes to the December and January larger tax payments. So we'll look forward to those for holiday celebration times. All the deposits for the Medical Plaza on the next page are pretty standard. Page 27, I guess it is, would be the check register. And are there any questions or?
Who's Neihardt?
Neihardt is the firm that does the actuarial valuation for the retirement protection plan.
Thank you. Any other questions about the check register?
No.
Okay, we're even up on the retirement protection plan. Doesn't seem to be any activity.
Yeah, so, yeah, just really just a shift from an active to a vested, but in total, the numbers did not change. So.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be showing a net pension asset versus a net pension liability. So good having going that forward. The grant payment schedule on page 33, as you can see, we've had $473,000 in it'd be the third to the last column that we've paid year to date on prior grants. The current year, we have not awarded any grants or any payments associated. And we have highlighted at the bottom still about $5.8 million in grant funds that could be awarded in the fiscal year.
Okay. Any other questions related to the financials, ladies and gentlemen? Other matters in the district, we've already heard from Mr. Stribling. There's one item.
Need to do a vote, if you would, please, on the financials.
Financials, that's true. Excuse me. I need a motion to approve the financial reports as submitted and reviewed.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, signify.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so moved and approved. The district, Mr. Stribling, been accepted. But there's one action item that I think, are you going to bring that up or is Conrado going to bring that up?
I think Conrado is, unless he prefers otherwise.
Conrado, would you like to discuss the whole engagement, please?
No, I think that Chris can do it. Chris, please.
Okay, happy to do so. So as you know, we've been working with Kaufman Hall, and with the ad hoc committee, et cetera, it's moving forward. The original agreement or extension was for the months of September, October, November. September, there was little to no activity, but October has seen more, and we're moving forward into November with some additional ad hoc committee meetings, et cetera. So as I indicated earlier, we did receive the first billing of $75,000 in October. What we're proposing here is extending another 3 months for the Kaufman and Hall agreement that would take it through February of 2022. Now there would be, probably at this point, we're looking at some updating the scope of work, which will be discussed at the ad hoc committee meeting, which is scheduled next week. So
I have a question.
Go ahead.
If we pay them $75,000 in a month and they don't do anything, do they still get to keep the $75,000, or do they just bill against that?
Well, no, they they didn't bill for September because they didn't do any work. Now, okay. October, they did do work, and so they're billing for the $75,000, and it's a fixed monthly fee. If they've done, you know, work, then that's what they get paid. Now, some months they're going to do less than others, some more than others.
So just to clarify, we had allocated 3 monthly payments of $75,000 for September, October, November. They didn't use September's. Mm-hmm. We now mm-hmm. want to do the same thing for December, January, February.
Correct. And we will come back we're looking at the time extension, but we will come back with probably a revised scope of work in addition to an additional $75,000 a month for those three additional months.
And just to pick up on the question of timing, I'm a little concerned that, and I think Conrado has already communicated with them that we really have to recognize that time is an asset we no longer have the ability to play with, and we would like them to accelerate their work effort to the maximum degree possible without going overboard. So that message has or will be communicated to them consistent with this approval.
I also think it's important that we update the board in a closed session, since this is a real estate kind of transaction stuff. We need to keep the rest of the board that's not on the subcommittee updated on issues.
This real estate, did you say? I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Well, it falls under something that can be done in closed session. So we need to update the rest of the board is what I'm saying.
Right, I would agree. That's very important that we make sure that we're all appreciative of the same priorities and the same issues to move the agenda. Conrado, you had a question, a thought?
No, it's fine.
So what would we need to report on? This is an action item that's going to move forward to the board. So that, is there an additional report that you want?
Well, we're talking about the issue of putting some little pressure on Kaufman Hall to accelerate work efforts.
No, that's not what I was referring to. I was saying whatever is being discussed in the subcommittee needs to be brought to the board so that we know what's going on, especially if directions are changing or timelines are changing. And you can't do that in a public forum, but we can do it in a closed session.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. Thank you for the clarification.
And to your point, Director Dallara, at the time of publishing, we were initially looking at just a time extension. But since then, there's been discussion about potential scope of work and that. So that's where we will, be working with the ad hoc committee to work through those processes and probably come to the board meeting with the actual addendum for consideration of approval.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are there any other matters to come before the board? I have one just point of information I'd like to discuss. Is there
excuse me?
Can I move approval of that item of the extension?
I'm sorry, public comments?
We do, yes.
There is someone who wishes to speak. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, and may that person identify themselves, please?
It's Linda Evans.
Please go ahead, Linda.
Thank you very much, directors. I just want to make sure I've got some clarification. This is the recommendation for this committee to move the addendum to extend the time frame, which would subsequently also add the $75,000 a month. But according to Chris, what will come back for full board approval is potentially a new scope of work as well as the 3-month extension?
Potentially.
All right.
We haven't really discussed any additional work expansion, but we are recommending that the contract be extended in the usual and customary form of moving forward.
Great. Thank you for the clarification.
That's not the way I understood Chris. I thought he was going to actually include the scope of work when it comes to the board. Am I wrong on that?
No, we're going to discuss it. We're not making a recommendation about the scope of the work is what I was trying to express. But the board will discuss the scope of work, yes.
So we were just discussing here because there was, we want to clarify more with scope of work, and that was not identified at the time of publishing the packet. So the intent at this point is not necessarily voting on the additional time extension. We will do all of that at the board meeting, but with consideration with the ad hoc committee with.
Right. So it will come back to the board, Letty, but it'll come through a different pathway.
Yeah, so the addendum will be brought to the full board with time extension, the payment component, as well as if there's any other specifics that will be modified.
Oh, thank you. Chris, I have a question. It's on a somewhat of a parallel track. I know you and I have talked about it. I think Conrado and I have talked about engaging the historical consultants that we've used in the past as related to seismic engineering issues, which actually runs parallel to everything else we're talking about. Can you give us discuss that matter if you don't mind? Wait a second, excuse me. Unless you have something you'd like to interject first, go ahead, please.
No.
Oh, your hand is up. You have a hand up.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. There's a hand.
Anybody else see my hand up?
Nope.
No. Yeah. I have an electronic hand up. Okay, never mind.
Okay. Director Shore, I think those details will be discussed at the ad hoc committee meeting.
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there any other business to come before the committee for the district? If not, I'd like to move to adjourn. All in
favor? I thought we were going to take action on the extension.
What I'd indicated is since we will bring the entire addendum, which will include the time extension, to the board. I mean, like I say.
Okay. Do we have a motion to that effect, please?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor? By acclamation, aye. Okay, we have an approval there. And therefore, I'd like to adjourn this meeting. And with everyone's permission and agreement, I'd like to move to the foundation agenda immediately at 4:21 adjournment and starting the meeting at 4:21. I'd like a motion to move the agenda for approval, please.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor by acclamation, aye.
Aye.
Okay. Are there any public comments, Andrea, for the foundation at this time?
No.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like a motion for review and approval of the September 14 minutes of the foundation. Motion to that effect, please.
I'll move approval of the October 14th minutes.
Right, so that's a type of, I should say.
Second.
All in favor, the typo needs to be corrected. So September, we'll move it to October. I'm looking at the wrong, I pulled up the wrong file. So this is the October meeting. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye, thank you very much. Conrado, is there a report that you'd like to submit at this time?
No, thank you. We have other matters in which I will have some reports.
Okay, would you like to take those on right now, please? Or do you want to wait?
They're on the agenda.
It's part of the agenda, so okay. I'll wait.
All right, then let's move on to the financials. Chris, please.
My pleasure. So we'll move quickly through the financials for the foundation. There's really not a whole lot of difference or change from the prior month. We're still netting on page 5, net loss of around $28,000 year to date. One page I always focus on is page 8. I won't go into much detail on that, other than I just like to stress that the second column shows general funds of $1.6 million, that's available to the foundation for general spending. $5.7 million is committed against grants, et cetera. Moving on, unless anybody has any questions with any other items, quickly going to the grant payment schedules, page 12 and 13. This shows the grants that we have there. We have $1.5 million available for awarding of grants in the fiscal year. And then page 13 just gives an update on the pass-through monies on the federal funds.
I move the financials be accepted.
I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. Okay, let's move the agenda to I don't have my copy of the agenda in front of me, I'm sorry. So the next item on the agenda, if someone will, Andrea, if you wouldn't mind flashing that.
It's also on the screen too, if you can see the screen.
Now I see, yeah, now I see
under it. Other matters.
Yeah, I see it on the screen. The service addendum, and that is this something you're going to address, Conrado?
Conrado, you're muted.
Sorry. I'm self-censoring. This is an item we have. This is a contract we have with Conquer Inc. to help with the prevention, mitigation, and emergency preparedness for fires in Eastern Coachella Valley and the health impact that it has. Because of the pandemic, this has been moving very, very slowly, and we're asking for a three-month extension.
I move we accept the addendum.
Do we have a motion to that effect, please?
I move second.
We accept the agenda.
No, a second. We have a second by Dr. Sendel. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion is so carried. The last item has to deal with the program assistant.
Yes.
It's a new, new hire issue.
Yes. So this is an item that we approved at a previous meeting, and we had the condition of receiving funds from the county. The county is facing some challenges because due to the pandemic, the Department of Public Health had the ability to expedite contracts. They no longer have a declaration of emergency. Therefore, they have to go through the very lengthy process of getting any contract approval at the Board of Supervisors. And sometimes they have to wait three, four, six sessions to incorporate an item into that agenda. So we haven't received any additional funds from the county. Nonetheless, we have additional work due to the expansion of eligibility. We're now doing pediatric vaccination for COVID-19 in two school districts, and very specially, we're going to start next week with Desert Sand Unified School District, the largest school district we have in the Valley. It's a lot of work, and Alejandro needs help. So what we're proposing is to authorize the hiring of a temporary position for this program assistant. And once we have the funding from the county, we will use the county funding to cover for this expense.
What do you expect the cost to be, and when do you expect the county to be able to get back into sync with us?
Well, we're expecting the county to come back to us in 4 to 6 weeks before the end of the year.
Okay. And how much money are we talking about for this recommendation?
I don't recall exactly do we have a staff report on that? Or Alejandro, can you tell us what the salary range was?
19.23 to 33.65 an hour. I don't know what comes out to your.
It's a low salary.
Is there any risk that we might not be reimbursed by the county?
I don't think so. I think we will be getting an expansion of the.
It's the clearly important.
We have
clearly important. So I would like to move that we accept this.
I have a second to that effect.
I'll second it. The only thing I'm concerned about is that if the hiring is done, will they do retro, or will they say because these funds were expended before the contract was signed that there wouldn't be any retro? So I knowing that, I still think it's a necessary service and the work needs to be done. So I'm walking in knowing that there's a possibility that we may not get paid for the full amount.
Yep.
Question, let's assume this was, I support Letty's position. You introduced this job as a temporary job. So under normal circumstances, when do you expect this engagement to sunset, to be over? Or is this converted into a permanent position?
So for now, it's a temporary position. We anticipate that we will be sunsetting this in about 1 year. It all depends on how well we're executing vaccination campaigns, but we have to consider that beginning September of next year, we will be in the midst of another round of vaccination.
It really depends on whether the regular public health and community health organizations begin to pick up the vaccinations of subsequent years, like flu shots. And it's going to become a regular thing like flu shots. And right now the infrastructure doesn't exist in community clinics and other places to do that. So we had to create it, and hopefully it can wean down, whatever the word is, over the next couple of years. Or it might not if new challenges come up, but it's clearly important, and we don't want to grab the jaws of defeat from victory. So let's do it.
No question. Just if it's a temporary job, do we need an expiration date?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Then what's the definition of temporary?
1 year.
Is that our definition of temporary?
I think so.
Okay. It has a year expiration, and I'd like the minutes to reflect that. Hopefully that, you know, Dr. Zendel's view will be absolutely correct, and the county will get back into sync. The rest of the organizations who are supposed to be involved in this will resume the agenda, because again, we need to preserve the principle that we're not in the service delivery business. We're in the money delivery business, if I'm not mistaken.
I have a suggestion that what we're doing is we're not putting new money in the budget, but it's going to come out of this fiscal year. And if we want to put it into the next budget for the next fiscal year, it's going to have to be an added amount of money that we'll have to vote on. So that's why I'm not concerned about whether it's temporary or not.
So you're only talking about monies that will be dispersed in through the end of this fiscal year?
For this position, for now, until there's a new budget. If they think there needs to be in the new budget, it'll be put in the new budget proposal and we'll vote on it then.
So it'll return again as an action item in the new budget.
If they feel it needs to be there.
We'll be doing our staffing plan and all of that with our annual budgeting.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the proposal as discussed and presented?
So moved.
Second.
I am voting in favor. Is everybody in favor of this? Say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Do we have any new business to come before our committee? If not, I hope we were able to meet your time frame, Dr. Zendel. All other things.
Before. Two minutes to spare.
What's that?
2 minutes to spare.
2 minutes to spare, my God. Who was going to get up on a soapbox for that purpose? I'd like to move the agenda to close. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure. And off to the next agenda. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.